Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I thought I would share with you all that I made a podcast with Cooper the other day.
With Cooper?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I have made a podcast with Charlie that we published, a Sawbones with Charlie.
Right.
Yes.
And Charlie did a great job. I was very proud of her. And Charlie was getting lots of compliments on how great she did. And so Cooper, of course, bore witness to all this.
Of course.
And was not happy.
Right.
Because where is her podcast? So she said, she came over to me and whispered, "Can we do a podcast about Phineas and Ferb?"
About Phineas and Ferb?
Now, here's the weird thing.
I've never seen them watch that.
We have barely ever watched Phineas and Ferb.
Huh.
That was on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying we don't. We have watched some of it. They've watched the movie several times for some reason. Mm-hmm. And we do enjoy it. So this is not like, it's not like my kids don't like Phineas and Ferb. It's just not, it is not in any way in regular rotation in this house. It is no Bluey in this house.
Right.
So it was a weird thing for her to ask me to do a podcast about. And I know very little to do a podcast about it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, well, okay, hon. So we came down and we sat down and I really recorded it. I never fake it. Mm-hmm. I set us all up. I hit record and I said, "Go for it. What's the name of our podcast? Introduce us. Let's go." And she said, "Okay, welcome to Secret Made Podcast with Cooper McElroy and Mommy Sydney."
Mommy Sydney.
Mommy Sydney. And Secret Made as in like we made it in secret. And I was like, "Okay. Thank you for having me. What is this about?" And she said, "Mommy, I want to ask you questions." And I said, "Okay." She said, "I want to know about dinosaurs."
Did she trick you into doing like a weird answer all my kid questions podcast by saying it was Phineas and Ferb?
I guess. Or she forgot on the way downstairs. I don't know. But she starts asking me questions about dinosaurs. Now, here's the thing. I don't know any... Like, I know the average amount about dinosaurs. Like, I don't want to say I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But I know what, like, your average adult who's not interested in dinosaurs knows about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's it. So she's like, "I'm going to ask you questions about dinosaurs and you can tell me." And I'm like, well, I'm not a paleontologist, which, by the way, is someone who does know about dinosaurs. Go for it. And she says, "So did dinosaurs make the planet?"
Wow, we're getting heavy real fast.
Is this my fault?
I don't know. Did you tell her dinosaurs made the planet?
No, she asked me who the first people were ever, and I didn't know what direction to take that conversation. Okay. So I said, "Well, the first things on the planet were dinosaurs." And then she said, "So dinosaurs made people?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Then those people made more people?" I said, "Yes." She went, "Then they made us." I said, "Yes."
This is inaccurate.
This is maybe my fault.
I feel like it's not inaccurate. I feel like it's accurate with missing vital steps.
Yeah. Like, I left out the dinosaurs getting wiped out and us being made from other parts. But I also didn't know how to answer who were the first people on Earth.
So I made it very clear that the dinosaurs didn't make the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They lived on the planet.
Maybe they made it.
But I clarified that, and she said, "So there are dinosaurs?" And I said, "No, wait, not anymore. They're all dead," which, like, this is comforting to her. So that tells you a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm telling her, like, they died before there were ever any humans. So, like, there were never dinosaurs and humans, separate things, different times on the same planet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting there thinking, and she goes, "So in dinosaur world, did they ask if humans are real and think about humans as monsters?" Which is a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, I think this assumes time-traveling dinosaurs.
Well, that's a, are we imagining that dinosaurs, in whatever method of communication they use, envision the existence of the human mammal? of us?
Or is this a multiverse situation where there are worlds where dinosaurs were not wiped out,
mm-hmm.
and they have advanced technology, and perhaps there is a dinosaur world. Maybe there are many.
And maybe they
Jurassic
speak.
Park happened, but it's
but humans. It's humans.
Yeah.
Because humans are the more dangerous, the most dangerous game.
The most dangerous,
the most dangerous animal, because we kill things all the time.
All other universes are like happy utopias. It's all dinosaurs, and they understand that that's the way that you can destroy any universe is if you accidentally make humans. So humans are a tightly guarded concept.
And there's a dinosaur scientist holding a giant piece of amber with a little human trapped inside it, like frozen forever in amber. And they're like, "Look what I found."
And everyone else, all the other dinosaurs, are like, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't reanimate it. Don't bring it back.
But, I mean, don't we also kind of have dinosaurs still? Because aren't birds little dinosaurs?
And, like, okay. Alligators?
I did not want to get into... Like, we Evolution. Can have that. It was sort of like when on Sawbones, when Charlie asked me what's syphilis, and I'm like, an illness. Moving on.
A sick.
She's like, is it like a cold?
Sure.
I guess in some ways.
Like, she said, does everybody get it like a cold? And I'm like, it used to be. Anyway, so there exists this podcast I did with Cooper about dinosaurs. Briefly. And then she got bored. And she said, can I be excused? And I said, well, honey, it's your show. If you want to end it, like, that's totally fine, of course. And she says, so can I be excused? And I said, yes. And then she backed away from the mic, stuck her head down into her shirt, and screamed. And then she sat back up at the mic and said, okay, I'm back.
Yep.
And I think we need to make it normal that in life, sometimes when you're in a situation, you are allowed to say, I'm sorry, can I be excused? And when someone says, of course, we just stick our head down our shirt and scream and then re-enter and go, okay, I'm back. I feel like I need to do that about 30
I've
times
done
a day.
That before.
Can I be excused?
I don't know. I saw somebody on TikTok who was, I don't know what their specialty was, but they were saying that, you know, we can perceive language in our heads and that you can scream in your head without making any sound. And it feels relief in a lot of the same ways. And I was like, no way that's true. And then I tried it and I'm like, oh, that does feel good, actually. And I just screamed in my head for like a prolonged period of time.
Are you screaming in your head right now? I can tell by the look on your face that you're screaming in your head right now.
I was trying to figure out, and I was like, oh, there it is.
Everybody listening right along is trying to scream in their head right now.
It feels pretty good. It's not as good as a real scream, I think. But if you're in a situation where you can't scream out loud, perhaps in a busy restaurant setting where you really want to scream, just scream in your head a little bit.
Let's take 5 seconds and everybody just listening along. Let's all just scream in our heads
right now.
Real quick.
Ready, set, go. Didn't
Great
that,
job,
that felt better? Didn't that feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought we needed that. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Phoebe Bridgers.
That's the opposite of screaming, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of like screaming in your head. I think some of her music,
like such chill screaming, though,
like it's soft, but it's also like a little bit angry. So it's just like screaming in your head.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say because there's no actual screaming. There's one song on what's the 2020 album?
I only listened to the one you the Alps one.
The Punisher.
Yes. Stranger in the Alps.
Well, I was reading some album notes, and on that, for one of the songs, she described it as like similar to My Chemical Romance, The Black Parade. She's like, it's whatever genre that is. And I really wanted to make a metal song. And I'm like, oh, I want to check this out, though, because after listening to Stranger in the Alps, I'm like, I can't imagine what it sounds like her doing a metal song. And then I listened to it, and I'm like, oh, no, it's not.
It's not that.
It's very discordant at the end.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. So I did want to talk about specifically Stranger in the Alps from 2017, which I believe was her first like full studio album.
Yeah.
She's a ghost on the front of the album.
She's a ghost on the front. Or is that just a ghost on the front?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know why I assumed it was her. I mean, it's her album.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would not know this artist if I saw her.
Really?
Mm-mm. I have no... I'm going to be really honest with you. Prior to listening to this album...
You'd never...
I don't think I'd ever heard any of these songs.
Really? Or,
I don't think so. If I have, I don't remember ever hearing them. They did not ring a bell. And I think because of her name, in my head, I had her confused with that actress.
What?
Isn't there an actress named like Phoebe Waller something?
Oh, yeah.
Who's in Fleabag?
Not Bridgers, oh. though. we sound like our parents.
I know.
Say Phoebe Buffay?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was the first place my mind
went. It is Bridge. Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Yeah. In my head, I had her confused with her, and I was very... I was like, this is not the same... this is not who's singing. This can't be the same... And then I looked, and I was like, this is a different... Mm-hmm. This is a whole other human.
Yeah.
One makes music, one's on TV and movies, and I had them conflated in my head.
I do enjoy... I've never seen her in concert, but if you ever look at pictures of her in concert or videos, often she's wearing, like... one of those skeleton bodysuits that you'd wear as like a Halloween costume.
Mm.
That's like the fitted black suit with like the bones printed on the front. I enjoyed that.
Is her whole thing spooky? Because that's a ghost and then there's a skeleton. Songs could be spooky. I mean, they're not spooky, but they're ethereal.
Well, she does have a lot of songs about people that have passed.
Yeah. I guess that's spooky.
And Killer was the first song that came out. It actually came out in 2015, which I didn't know that, but came out 2 years before the album as a single.
Oh.
And that one's, you know, spooky.
I
think that's the first song that I ever heard of hers and didn't... I was listening back to this album, there are a lot of songs that I was like, oh yeah, I know this song. I just never really realized they were all by the same person.
Yeah. She, you probably heard her when we did our episode on Red Taylor's version.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing New, the song about like being old and not being new to the media anymore, that Taylor did as a duet, was with Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which actually I will shamefully say was how I was introduced to Phoebe Bridgers, was listening to that album, seeing the name and knowing that she made music, but not having really deeply listened to it, and then going and seeking it out.
Interesting.
So I can't claim like lifelong fan status.
It's very strange because I'd heard the name, but I didn't know what kind of music she made. And I don't think, but I mean, this is a problem with the way we listen to music now, because like the stations that I seek out when I'm not playing my own music from my own phone are like 90s alternative.
Yeah.
Then I don't find stuff like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't pop up on Jimmy Buffett radio.
She does not. that would be a great, great collab, though.
I mean, he's very chill. A lot of this music I found very soothing and relaxing. I know you say spooky, but it didn't like... It didn't give me the spook... Like, it didn't make me feel unsettled. The way that, like, Poe would always make me feel sometimes a little unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make me feel that way. It made me feel, like, soothed.
Right.
All right. That's interesting. I don't know. Like, I feel like it is a little... It's somber, you know? It's not like relax, like, I'm just enjoying the sunshine and having a cocktail. It's a bit more like, death will find you, just accept it, that's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I would not say that I was, like, wanted to chill and have a cocktail to it.
Yeah.
It was just like, maybe it was the acceptance. With spooky, when I hear spooky, I think, like, death is coming, let's all run. And this was more like, it's okay,
death is coming, let's all vibe.
There's a ghost in your house, it likes you, it's your friend.
It likes you,
it's the one
friend
on the cover of the album.
Yes
Which doesn't no, that ghost on the front does not look like it wants to be my friend. Do you think it looks like it wants to be our friend?
I do.
Yeah,
it's got a little rainbow coming out of its head
and a dog in the background.
The dog looks menacing.
It's a fluffy little boy.
Anyway.
Anyways, there are a few things on this album that I particularly enjoy. One is that it is my go-to album to put on when I get in my car and I want to put on music, but it's like raining outside or it's really early and I'm not in the mood to listen to something that I need to be like into. Just turn it on. It's just like, yes, all of this fits the vibe currently.
I can see that.
Yeah. You don't really have to be in it once you, I mean, obviously it's good to listen to the songs for the words when you're first listening to them. But once you know them, you can just kind of put them on and those vibes just kind of like consume the environment, the yes. acceptance.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah. But also I like that she wrote almost all of the songs by herself, which I didn't know, but I always, that's what one of the things I always liked about artists like Taylor Swift was you can tell that she's not singing something that was written and produced for like a variety of artists to try their hand at and then, you know, make demos of and sing like a lot of other popular artists do. They're all about her life and experiences. Particularly Motion Sickness is one of my favorites, but also is about one of her actual relationships with a much older man.
It was, yeah, that was a very good one. And it was like one of the bigger hits from it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was actually one of the singles in 2017 leading up to its release, along with Smoke Signals and Funeral. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, I liked Motion Sickness. That was one that stood out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was on a maybe several movie soundtracks, but I've definitely heard that in what was the, there was a Netflix movie that was used in. That's also one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, I can see where these would be good songs too for like movie and TV soundtracks.
Yes.
These are very good mood setting, especially if you need something very sad.
Definitely.
Like a very sad scene. There are many of these songs that would work very well.
Yeah. Well, and I like that Motion Sickness kind of breaks up the because a lot of them have very like somber beats going on in the background beneath the lyrics as well. This one has a little bit more of like a ooh, yeah. Yes. You know what I mean?
Like, ooh, once
you start, it's like, you get the guitar.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more like jammy.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more like Angry Girl, but not angry, like yelling angry. If
yeah.
That makes sense.
And it does stand out in that way. I feel like there's not... Are there any other songs like that? None strike me immediately.
A lot Georgia of them, has a little bit more of like an upbeat tone, but not quite as much. Like not upbeat in the tone of the words, but in like the rhythm.
That makes sense, because if I was thinking about other songs that I enjoyed, Georgia was on my list. I also liked Would You Rather.
Yeah, that one's one of my favorites. But it also is a very somber, kind of slowed down, along with like Smoke Signals, which I really enjoy. And that's the other thing I really like about the album is you can tell it was written and made in an order that was made to be listened to straight through, because the first song is Smoke Signals, and then the very last song is just that 30-second Smoke Signals reprise, which is just like an instrumental that kind of fades out of the album, that kind of like loops you back around. I really enjoy that. Like a callback.
Yeah.
No, hey, remember that song? That was the first one you listened to.
Yeah.
Now the album's over. Bye.
That is not. Yeah. That is nice. Like in a musical when you have like the overture and then the music.
Yes, it's exactly like an overture in a musical.
Well, and then at the end you have the the music for the bows.
I'm glad you're the one that said it, not me. Usually I'm the one that makes those kinds of connections. I'm glad it wasn't me this time.
I mean, I like musicals too. I did theater.
Yes, that's true.
This would make for a very strange musical, this album.
Yes.
Oh, I am not. Yeah, I don't think there are a lot of things we talk about that I want to make into musicals. That's a comment. That this is the highest compliment I can usually pay something. I want to make that into a musical. This, as enjoyable as it is, I do not see as a musical. It'd be a very sad musical.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a weird jukebox musical.
Which there can be. I mean, we talked about Into the Woods recently. There can be musicals where almost everyone dies.
I feel like if this were a musical, everyone would die.
Yeah. Yeah, it would just end with a bunch of ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like that one on the cover.
All just standing there looking at you, whistling the little Smoke Signals reprise.
It's like one of those, you know, like kind of like Canterbury Tales where everybody has a story. Like everybody starts out as ghosts and then they individually take off their little ghost sheet and they have like a musical number that tells how they ended up a ghost. And then they put their sheet back on and then another ghost stands up. Phoebe Bridges the musical. Sounds like
I do want to see that now.
That is a good, that's a, what you just laid out is actually a really good premise. I like that.
It's like a chorus line, but, but dead.
Or vagina monologues without the vaginas.
Yeah. Sure.
Just oh, ghost man. Stories.
I want to talk more about why this specifically was important to you. But before we do that,
let's check the group message.
As I've said before, in my household, we love cereal. Cereal is one of our favorite things to eat. Breakfast, dessert, anytime. Cereal's an anytime food. And Magic Spoon has innovated and changed the cereal game by perfecting the crunchy texture and developing an astounding variety of flavors. But it might be something you feel a little bit better about eating because they got 0 grams of sugar in there. That's right. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein. Whatever your dietary needs might be, Magic Spoon can meet those for you. They've got gluten-free, they've got grain-free, they've got soy-free. It's all in there. And you can build your own box. They have a huge variety of appealing flavors. They've got classic ones like cocoa, like fruity, frosted, peanut butter. You got favorites like blueberry muffin, maple waffle, honey nut. If it's like a dessert sort of situation, maybe some cookies and cream, maybe a little cinnamon roll. And like I said, you can build your own box. You can put things together. You want some cocoa and peanut butter? Who doesn't? You can put those right in there together. Magic Spoon has got you covered any time of day to meet your cereal needs. And if you want to check out Magic Spoon, you just go to magicspoon.com/buffering to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code BUFFERING at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/buffering and use the code BUFFERING to save $5 off.
You know what I was just thinking about that these remind me of? The music in some of these.
What?
Have you ever seen, usually around Halloween time, on Twitter or something like that, there's the little ghost chorus or like ghost choir that whistle.
Louis Zong animates those, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whistle and they make kind of like a percussive sound. I'm trying to think of a specific instrument and it's not coming into my head. But like that. The background sounds like the ghost chorus would be singing some of these songs as backup.
Why don't I know about this?
It's funny.
I have to look this up.
I did think about that, and I wasn't sure. I was like, is it just because of the album art that I'm thinking about those Sad Little Ghosts? But I feel like there's a, because I like the Sad Little Ghosts as well, and I feel like I like them for the same reason. Because it's like, it's sad, but it's kind of like earnest in its sadness. You know, it's a little bit of that like recognizing that. Because a lot of these songs, whether they're relationships ending or actual, like, loss of people, it's like, things end, but that's kind of the natural order. I don't know. There's a sort of, like, a sweetness to it.
Yeah. It's like you said, Sid. Like, yes, there's, a ghost on the front, but it's not about, like, sad death. It's like,
yeah.
Well, that's why I like that it comes full circle like that. Like it all just kind of wraps back around like a nice little package.
Mm. Is this I just wonder like if this is like a generational shift. Like, here's a whole album about how, you know, we're going to die, but it's nothing to be. Like it's sad, but it's sad in a chill way.
And I listened to it in the first time I listened to it was 2021, so I mean very recently, and it fits the vibe of today very much.
Mm.
But it came out 5 years ago, and I feel like
it was prescient.
Like society was not quite there yet. You know what I mean? Like
I'm not there
as a generation. It feels very Gen Z to me as a tone.
Mm.
I feel like we quite weren't there yet in 2017, but Phoebe Bridgers knew we were going to be there one day. She's like, I've been there. You all are gonna get there soon. Don't worry, I got you.
It's dark. We've gone from death is the enemy to, oh, death is a friend, actually.
Now, here's what it looks like. It's this good. Little ghost Yeah, no, I did wonder about that because I was thinking like sad music that we grew up with, because there's always been that, right? There's always been music that is, it's sad and it's supposed to be sad and it's what you play when you're going through a breakup. Mm-hmm. There's always been sad music. We need that. But it was never, it was always sad. Like, I feel like the sad of the 90s was like, I mean, nobody really thought we weren't gonna die. Mm-hmm. We're just like, it's like we're doing the sad thing right now, you know? We're doing the sad thing. Mm-hmm. It was a thing we were doing.
But I feel like, you know what, I like how many of her influences she has songs addressing. And also, like, on Would You Rather, it's she sings it with Connor Oberst of Bright Eyes. Mm-hmm. So there is like Bright Eyes and Elliott Smith. I think we had that music, and those were specific influences on her that she recognizes.
That makes sense.
But I don't know if those were never quite mainstream.
No, they were definitely popular, and definitely like I ran in the circles where that kind of stuff was popular. But it wasn't like it's like your generation doesn't sit around at parties and listen to music like this, do they?
I think it depends how you define a party. I don't know. Has there ever been a generation where you sit around at parties and listen to this music?
Sid, I don't know if you were at parties when that was going on.
Yeah. Well, like, do I sit, like, when I'm driving in the car with my friends and it's, like, windows down just vibing, do we listen to this? Yes.
You do?
Yeah. Sometimes you just need something to listen to that, like, chills you out. And if you're feeling your emotions, you feel your emotions, but it's not in, like, a... this is going to make me start sobbing kind of way.
If all your friends are in the car and the windows are rolled down, you're like, it's party time. Then you got to listen to music that's going to pick you up.
So that's what you define as a party? I can't imagine a party situation that I'm thinking of, the most recent party I've been to, where this is the music we turn on.
Where two or more are gathered in my name. It's a party.
So in your house every day, it's a party.
Yeah, there you go. In my house every day, it's a party. No, I'm joking. I just, that's all I was wondering was like, is this would be music like, I think about when I was young. Mm-hmm. This would have been like alone time music.
Yeah.
Purely a solo experience. I would never have listened to this music with other people, because if other people were around, then we would have been less, I don't know what we would have. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Parties that I attended, we would have been listening to Rent and singing.
Yeah, I feel like if you invited some people over to your house and then you put on Phoebe Bridgers, it's a bit of a, hey, do you want to talk about something? Do you want to, you got some stuff on your mind?
That's okay. I listened to Jeff Buckley back in the day. But I didn't, like, invite my friends over to chill with me and listen to Jeff Buckley. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I don't think... Well, okay. I guess that's hard because now in 2022, I don't think anyone... I'm not going to say anyone. I don't think it's very common to be invited to hang out with someone to listen to music. Because it's everywhere.
That's true.
It's not like, oh, you have that new album. I got to listen to that. Can I come listen to it? Like, it's everywhere
all
the time. That's
so weird to think about, because I definitely invited people to my house, like, to listen to Jagged Little Pill. Like, I had friends over so that we could sit down and listen to Jagged Little Pill and read through the you know, lyrics on the CD liner and all that. And, I mean, like, we definitely did that.
Yeah.
I remember having a sleepover specifically around the release of Natalie Imbruglia's album.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. I laid in my... Remember that very Delia's bedroom I had for a while? Like, the space age bedroom?
Yeah. Oh, I do, which is so... Like, the theming, like, the planning and the theming and the room and the everything is on brand for you, Tay, but then the specifics of it are not.
For some reason, I was the first one that got it. And I just remember sitting in that big inflatable lunar lounger, sitting in inflatable furniture, listening to Natalie Imbruglia with the only light in the room being those little push lights that you could stick to your walls that were very popular.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They were very cool.
Man. Yeah, I mean, now it's just like music comes out and you can stream it everywhere. so everyone listens to it at the same time. Like, when it, if you're really excited for it to come out, then at midnight when it comes out. And maybe if you want to, if you're hanging out with your friends, like, oh, have you heard that new album? Let's put it on or whatever. But not like, come over to listen to the new Taylor Swift album.
That's interesting, because I mean, it makes sense. Obviously, that makes sense. But that was definitely, and that's not, I mean, that is a holdover from generations past, because, you know, that started with, I got this new record, come to my house, I have a turntable, let's listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, I got the new Paula Abdul cassette. These are true examples.
Oh, I know.
See, I enjoy that about when we do music on the show, especially when you focus down to like a specific album, because it makes you just listen to the whole album, like process the whole album before you move on. And I like to like treat an artist's work that way, you know, because usually that's, you know, that an album is a complete piece of work. It's got a beginning, middle, and end. It has a concept usually behind it of some kind. And when you just kind of listen to Shuffle on Spotify, you lose that statement.
Yeah,
I think that's definitely true.
I saw it recently. Spotify changed. Usually when you clicked on an album, the big play button at the top to start playing the whole thing would automatically have a shuffle on it. Which, like, they do with playlists, like you play it and it's automatically on shuffle a lot. But artists requested that it not be like that for albums, because a lot of the times they design their albums to be listened to straight through. So they don't want, obviously you can still shuffle it if you want, but they didn't want the default to be listening to the album on shuffle. So they changed that. Really? So that was interesting.
I think that's good though, because I do think like a good album will take you on that. It's like, that's where like the idea of a good mixtape comes from.
Yeah.
It's like a good album. It takes you on a trip.
Yeah.
An emotional journey, a story, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You say, even the idea of auto shuffling a playlist, I'm like, what? But the art of a playlist is just figuring out how each song goes into the next, and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. You can't shuffle a playlist, because then, like, you put them on there. Yeah.
Man, see, this is what happens when you grow up with iTunes and not making mixtapes, is I've never made a playlist with the intention of it being listened to in an order.
What?
It's just like, this is the vibe I'm going for. Let me think of all the songs that would fit and just start adding them, like on Spotify or on Apple or whatever it has been. And then I can just shuffle it and they're all going to match the same vibe. I'm not kidding. I've never made a playlist with the intention of being listened to. I mean, I'm sure it would still be fine if I listened to it straight through, but like, that's never been the goal.
But you gotta, how do you get like, I mean, you gotta, either you start out like really strong, like with a like really engaging song, and that gets your energy right away. But then you gotta think, do I want to keep this energy up? Do I want to have like a little mellow middle part where kind of dips? Or do I ease you in from the beginning? Start with something kind of mellow and then let it build. And then after the build, let it like crescendo and crash and chill out again. You gotta, it's like a roller coaster of music. But build in your mind.
And it depends on who it's from, what you do with that end, because like if it's like somebody with romantic interests, somebody you want to like make, then that last song can have that little promise of what's next, to that little like tip back up that sort of leaves you hanging, because that's for the next one. That's for the next encounter. And then if you're really old school, that's also when you pick up the mic on your karaoke machine and you record yourself saying a few things on the end, a little private message to the person you've made the tape for, to record that right on the end of the of the tape, and then give that, because we used to do that.
Yeah.
That goes back to like, oh my gosh, fifth, sixth grade, we would do that.
Well, you did tapes. I only ever burned CDs for people.
Yeah, I did tapes.
Maybe I'm alone in this. Maybe it is more common for people to, you know, make playlists and listen to them straight through than I believe. It's just, that's always been the way I've done it. And I know a lot of times when I'm looking for a playlist, like, here's a good example. I had the overwhelming urge last week to listen to songs from Glee. All the Glee original recordings of songs.
Uh-huh.
But not all of them are winners, obviously.
Obviously.
So I looked up on Spotify, Best of Glee. And of course, there were a dozen people that had already done the work for me and gone through and picked the best Glee songs from every season and put them all together. But they didn't look like they were ordered in an order meant to be listened to, it looked like they went through every album and picked like these from this and these from this, because it was like separated by album in that way.
Well, that's, I think what you're hitting on the key difference. I think what you do is probably what most people do now, because if when I'm making a playlist, I will look at an album that I want to get a song from. And if I see another song on there that I want on my playlist, of course, I'm going to go ahead and add it. I'm not going to be like, I'll be back for you later.
Right.
Because that would be a weird way to interact down. With my phone. Right. Yeah. Like who does that?
Yeah.
Right.
But back when we were making, whether it was tapes or CDs, that is like I was taking the tape that I wanted to take the song from and recording that one song from it. And then if I had wanted another song on that tape, I was going to have to fast forward it or rewind it or find that other song anyway, which I may as well just pick up another tape and put it in and put the next song on. There is no convenience to doing two songs off the same tape or CD if you have a big stack of taken tapes and CDs next to you.
Yeah, and if you're burning a CD, then you know you have waited 3 hours for each one of those songs individually on Napster, and you had to know what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you've been ordering them as you went. Like you, So,
I mean, that's why I do shuffle, because like when I've made playlists and I'm looking for, I mean, even just like of all one artist, like I've done that with Taylor Swift. It's just like, what are my favorite songs from every album? So I can have a playlist to turn on that easily is all songs I like. I don't want to put it on straight through, because then it's going to be like, okay, here's all the songs from this one album. And then now we're transitioning to this one. Like I'd rather it be a mix.
I gotcha.
So, is made that way. I will say though, it seems like albums now, not in the broad sense, but ones like this, like Sour, that Olivia Rodrigo album that I had you all listen to last year, I don't think they're as made to be mixed into a mixtape or into a playlist or something, because a lot of times they're all one feel, one vibe, you know what I mean? Like Sour was all very like, they're all heartbreak songs. Some might have a different like rhythm, but they're all about heartbreak. All of these songs on here are pretty much, not all of them are about loss in the romantic sense, but they're all very somber in tone.
Yes,
even if they have some differing like beats in the background. That makes
sense. That is interesting, and I don't know if that's probably, again, outside of like what I know about music and the way albums are made and stuff, but that definitely is a departure from, like, if I think to the albums I re-listened to over and over and over again when I was younger, they all, and I have to assume it was intentionally had a variety of feels and tempos. And
well, because you were going to put in a CD and it was going to play straight through, or you know, put in a tape or whatever. It's not, you can't skip around on it as easily. Gotta get the roller coaster.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And now I will say that, like, the old school way of doing that, it does leave the, like, I had a mixtape that used to be one of my favorites. Like, it was a really good mix. But if it's from somebody that is no longer in your life, that's a weird, you know what I mean? Yeah. What do you do with that?
That sounds like the concept for a Phoebe Bridgers song.
Yeah, it does.
A mixtape from a lost friend.
Well, I mean like a breakup.
Yeah.
But still, or it could be from a friendship that like fell apart, but like not a death necessarily. That's a whole other thing. But like somebody who like you have bad associations with the person maybe now, and you don't want that person in your life, but then they created this really beautiful mixtape for you. What do you do with that? Cuz it's tape is linked to the, when we used to make mixes or playlists for people, they were linked to the person. Right. So innately. Well,
yeah. I feel then the music goes through, like, however, what's the thing about like however long a relationship was, it takes twice as long to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when you get back the music that you lost to it. I've definitely lost bands and like songs to breakups or ends of friendship, and they eventually come back to my life. Like the songs, not the people. They eventually, I can listen to this now, but you gotta just, until you're over your feelings from that relationship, the music, it's always gonna feel a little messed up to listen to.
It's true. Also unrelated, but I did want to point out that now Phoebe Bridgers is only 27, so when she made this album, she was about my age, like 22. Wow,
that's wild.
And when she wrote Killer, she was like 19 or 20.
That's incredible.
So, yeah.
It's a very intense album. Like, for all of its confrontation with, I mean, there's death, there's murder, there's loss. there's a lot of like kind of sophisticated processing of all those things for like a very young person. Mm-hmm. It's like, what kind of life have you lived, Phoebe Bridgers?
Well, it really makes you think, yeah. Especially like motion sickness is obviously about a relationship that ended. That was not a great relationship. But one of the lines is, you said when you met me, you were born, but you were in a band when I was born. Like, she was 22 when that song came out. She may have been even younger when she wrote it. Like, how much older was it? And she has named the person that she wrote it about, because she has been very open about, like, naming who she's written songs for or in honor of, or if they're based on real events or if they're fictional. Because she said, like, well, I mean, if I'm going to talk about it, then I'm not going to, like, put it out there in the ether. Like, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Like, I'm going to ground it in reality. So she's talked openly about who she wrote the song about.
Interesting. I guess that's a good way to stop all the gossip around that, though. Like, make people more focused on the music, because, like, there's so much, like, when you talk about Taylor Swift, so much of the conversation is, who are these songs about?
Right. I just looked it up. Apparently, she wrote it about Ryan Adams.
Ah, that's right.
Who's in the band Whiskey Town.
Hmm.
Was married to Mandy Moore.
I know who that is.
So, yeah.
I mean, I know who Mandy, I meant Ryan Adams. Obviously, 40, I know who Mandy Moore is.
He's 47 now, which means he's 20 years older than Phoebe Bridgers.
Not Brian Adams.
Ryan.
Brian Adams is different.
I don't know.
That's, you don't know who Brian Adams is?
Should I?
Never mind. I'm dating myself. He's a singer, too.
Okay.
Canadian singer.
So it's like, but they aren't related in some way. No, I guess not.
But yeah, that's Phoebe Bridgers. Did you all have a song that you enjoyed most off this album?
Other than, like I said, I liked Motion Sickness, but I keep picking the songs that are already popular, so I wanted to intentionally pick ones that weren't popular. Mm-hmm. And we talked about them. I liked Georgia. I liked Would You Rather.
Mm-hmm.
Those were probably the other ones I liked the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm such a fan of Killer, like, from just before knowing who it was, that's just one of my favorite, not just my favorite Phoebe Bridgers songs, like, one of my favorite songs. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like all of those. I also like Scott Street, because it's kind of about that, like, leaving where you're from and coming back and not feeling quite the same, but also it is all the same, those sorts of vibes. I don't know. Feeling very weird about leaving Huntington soon, so those songs kind of
hit that
spot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for listening to this with me. I know it is kind of a somber album, but I appreciate it in the sense that it still is, like, beautiful, good.
There's plenty to be somber about right now.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like I my only problem in like processing this album was that it's so, like, just, I would put it on and sort of, like, disassociate from the world. Like, I'm not really listening to the lyrics. I'm just being sad with the music. This is great.
For reference, we're recording this on June 29th, so it's been a bit of a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We need, yeah. Sometimes you need that catharsis.
Yeah.
That's important.
But thank you all.
Well, thank you. I had not heard these songs, and I really enjoyed it. And I'll check out her other albums, because I have heard of her and I've had no familiarity with the music. So I'm glad you did.
What's next?
Something completely different.
big tone shift.
We're gonna do Wayne's World. That's it. That's the one. Party Time. Excellent. We're gonna do that next, because I don't know how we've never done it.
That's a great question.
Yeah,
saying it with that anything. That's right. Party Time. Excellent. Yes.
All right. Well, join us next week for that.
Wayne's World Party Time. Excellent.
That's the one. Brought to you by Noah's Arcade. thank you, Riley. Thank you for bringing us Phoebe Bridgers. Yes, you all should check that out. We listen to, I keep saying Alps, because that's
Stranger in the Alps.
I keep saying the Alps.
Which is a play on a line from The Big Lebowski, but the original line is inappropriate to say on the podcast.
Oh. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's in the Wikipedia page if you really want to know.
Well, there you go. Thank you to Maximum Fun. You should go to MaximumFun.org. Check out a lot of great podcasts you'd enjoy. You can tweet at us at Still Buff. You can email us at stillbuffering@maximumfun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am still buffering.
And
I am
too.
It's coming.
Yes. Indeed.
Hey, were you a reader as a kid? Like, maybe you read a lot of fantasy novels.
Or horse girl books. We know how it is.
But now you're an adult, and you miss reading. You're so busy, and you can't figure out how to get back into books.
We're Reading Glasses, and we're here to help.
Yeah, we'll give you advice to figure out what books you love, or learn to stop reading books you don't even like.
We're really big proponents of dumping that book.
Dump that book.
But most importantly, we'll help you fall back in love with reading. Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.